Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I will have the new Raven scratch-offs next Tuesday at the Beaumont in Catonsville. We'll be joined by Councilman Pat Young, who's running for Baltimore County Executive, amongst some others, including my pal Chad Koz, who's going to come on and talk about law, legality, and schoolhouse rock here in America. But we had Sunday night football from Orchard Park, New York. I wish I could do a better, what's it, Collinsworth's kid. I wish I could channel his voice. I'll do that for you. Luke Jones was up late. I was up late. You were up late. We were all up late. Just like you were Saturday night with the no-hitter in progress and the Camden Yards miracle. What weekend it was, Luke. I have not spoken to you. Alan McCallum and I did an hour just off of Davey Johnson's death and 2131 that's now available, Baltimore Positive. And I even said to Alan, I don't know how I'm going to run that on the radio because like we have to do Ravens, Ravens, Ravens because it's Monday, 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 and they lost, lost, lost. And I mean, these double-digit losses and how this adds up for Harbaugh, how this adds up for the franchise, and what a loss like Sunday night means for January again and having to pack bags, maybe if it comes down to that. Just I don't want to say unthinkable loss because they lose two or three like this every year, right?
Not like this. I mean, this was extreme. They've lost a couple that are in the stratosphere of this one, but I mean, you just made the comment. I'd venture to guess there are a number of people who actually went to bed. I mean, that's how in control it was with 10 minutes to
My
go.
wife being one of them, by the way. So just so you know, right. Yeah, it was
So that's
late.
what I'm talking. I mean, and again, look, I mean, we've seen this. I mean, that we've seen them squander double-digit losses, but I mean, this was a game that they had absolutely dominated with their offense. I mean, they averaged 8.6 yards per play, Nester. I mean,
It was
it was,
10 yards a play for a long time during the game. It was.
it really was. And I mean, I go back to the moment that I thought it was over. For all intents and purposes, it was Lamar's wild scramble where it looked like it was going to be a 20-yard loss and he ends up turning it into a gain, and then Henry runs 46 yards for a touchdown. But you kind of look at what happened from that point. Tyler Loop misses the extra point.
But once you get to 40, you think, we got 40 points. There's
Yeah,
no
I
way
mean,
they can't get to 40, is what you're thinking, right?
right. And let's be clear, if they hold on and they win and the final 5 minutes are normal, we're still talking about the fact that the defense wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. And I'd be reminding everyone, hey, it is Josh Allen. It is the Bills. I'm not expecting them to look like the 2000 Ravens and tossing a shutout. But when you do what they did in the fourth quarter, and more specifically in the final, what, 6, 7 minutes of the game, and yeah, I get it, and John Harbaugh cited it. The Bills got a little lucky with the deflection, the touchdown catch off the deflection on fourth down, but they were awful. The special teams were awful throughout the night. And think about how that factored late in the game. Loop misses the extra point. Trenton Simpson can't down the punt at the 1 yard line. That puts Buffalo on the 20 when they should have been at the 2 inch line after a great punt by Stout. I mean, just too many mistakes. And I mean, it really, as I just said, I mean, this was a little more extreme than usual, and it's obviously more magnified being week one, and it's this great Sunday night game that was a great game. I mean, if you take away the outcome and the ramifications for what it means for Baltimore and this team specifically, I mean, it was tremendous theater, and it was very entertaining. But it's a game that, I mean, the Ravens, to say they should have won, I mean, is an understatement. It's like saying water is wet. So it's just absolutely incredible to see how well that was going for them, specifically offensively, but just in general. I mean, you're up 40 to 25, and then how much had to go wrong in the
In
final
4 minutes.
6 minutes of play for that to happen. I mean, it really is inexplicable. I mean, I rewatched the final 10 minutes of the game, and you just, like I said, Tyler Loop missed extra point. They even got a stop after that, and then they got the ball back, but they had a 3rd and 8 to try to convert, to try to move the chains. Tylan Wallace commits a false start, and then you get that great punt, and Simpson can't down it at the goal line there. Yeah, as I mentioned, the Coleman touchdown catch. Yeah, there's some bad luck off a deflection there. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do to plan for something like that happening. But even after that, then Derrick Henry, who hardly ever fumbles, he fumbles, and then Allen scores a touchdown. Buffalo goes for two again. Nate Wiggins makes the breakup, and you're thinking, all right, as bad as it feels and as nerve-wracking as it is, this offense has been great all night. And then what do we see? They hand it off to Henry. You know, he gets what, 1 yard? If you go back and look at that, Andrew Voorhees got abused on that play by Ed Oliver. I mean, just pushed him right back into Henry's path. So failed to execute there. On second down, I assume you give Derrick Henry the ball again. Instead, Derrick Henry comes off the field entirely, and you give it to Zay Flowers. I can live with giving it to Zay Flowers, I guess, but don't take Derrick Henry off the field there. I mean, why? I mean, you're already doing Buffalo a favor there, you know, because then they're focusing on Lamar running the ball, or, you know, like I said, someone carrying the ball that's not akin to doing it very often.
I found play calls to be interesting all the way around because I thought Josh Allen throwing the ball on the 2-point conversion was like, what are you doing? You're so
Yeah.
multiple. Why would you throw an errant pass on a 2-point conversion to tie the game? Like, I just
Or being in
extending
shotgun,
plays.
yeah.
Both of these guys extend plays, and both of these guys should be automatic from a 2-point conversion. Like getting 2.5 yards at the goal line with these guys who can move a little bit and throw and the kind of weapons they have, I'm just blown away that that red zone isn't just a death sentence when you have this kind of quarterback, because that's what I believed 7 years ago. I believed 7 years ago you just would never be able to stop a Lamar offense at the hash on a 2-point conversion. You just wouldn't have enough helmets to stop them. That's what I think from a lineup standpoint on a 2-point conversion, and yet these teams throw it all the time, and I don't understand that at all.
And I will say, and I'm looking at it right now, the Ravens were first in red zone offense last year. Buffalo was second in red zone offense, right? So, of course, when you have a few like that, I mean, it's going to be more magnified. But, you know, even the third down play where they're throwing, if you go back and look, Lamar actually ran out to Hopkins, and they actually directly speak a few seconds before the snap, and Hopkins runs a route 3 yards short of the sticks, right? I mean, and then you have to punt it back. So it comes down to the
Hopkins
line.
made a hell of a catch, though.
I mean, he did. Look, let's be very clear.
They
This
played great for a long
offense,
time.
the
Yeah.
offense specifically, the defense, no. The special teams, no. The offense was great until the final three drives. And that's where, once again, this football team, no matter how great it might look for 50 minutes or 55 minutes, that was a master class at the end of the game
Well,
of
my hands are around
keeping it
my neck
away.
right now because, like, when you lose 17 double-digit games, John Harbaugh, when you know what I mean? Like when the number starts to add up, it just starts to be really, really piss poor strategy, piss poor use of your assets, piss poor use of the clock, piss poor use of your timeouts, piss poor use of your challenges, just across the board, and then the execution alone. Then the fact that you got to get 10 yards, you got 4 plays to do it, and you can't do it. And with the game on the line, you decide, okay, we'll punt here.
Yeah.
Fourth down, fourth and three or whatever, we're going to punt now. And after running this offense for 7 years this way, like, I don't know. It's like, I always split aces and eights, except when I don't at the end of the night at the casino when I'm ready to lose everything.
Well, it's not just going for it on fourth and three, right? And fourth and three isn't the same as fourth and one. We understand
I
that.
wouldn't go
But
for it there. And he said in the post game, everybody in the world would have punted. Yeah, but the idea is, you've got fat backs. You got the best offense in the history of the game. It's the fourth quarter. You're on the road. You've had the game won 3 different times. Get a first down. I mean, you got 3 plays to get 10 yards. Get them.
it's not just that, though. It's your defense isn't stopping them. So we all think back to what the Colts and the Patriots. Remember, years and years ago, the Patriots went for a fourth down, and this was at a time when there were far fewer instances of offenses going for it on
Yeah,
fourth down.
Belichick looked like the village idiot that night,
Belichick
right?
was kind of ahead of the curve in the thinking that I've got four downs to get a first down. My defense is not stopping the opposition. I'm going to try to win the game here. He tried it and it didn't work out, right? The Ravens, the opposite here. They could have tried to essentially win the game there if they can convert. They didn't. They punted. And then the defense, and more specifically, I mean, the defense struggled all night, right? I mean, there was bad tackling and instances of not being very good. But again, I was willing to chalk up what we had seen over the first 50 minutes, 55 minutes of that football game to it's Josh Allen and the Bills are really good too, right? I mean, great offensively, but over that last drive, over the last couple drives, I mean, the tackling, Jaire Alexander, I mean, the Bills just flat out picked on him on that last drive. And for as much as we spent time talking about his health, and I know he talked after the game in the locker room. I saw some of the comments. I mean, he owned the fact that, hey, I need to do a better job. But that's where you look at it and say, you kept him off the practice field for 3 weeks for a physical reason. And I'm not saying that he was jaking it or anything like that, but there's a reminder that at some point in time, you got to get out there and you've got to get ready to play football games. And he did not look ready to play. I mean, he was not good. So, I mean, all of this, it's such a frustrating finish to what should have been a very celebratory tone with how they played for most of the night. As we said, I mean, the Ravens offense was absolutely tremendous. There was so much to like, including the Hopkins touchdown. I mean, Derrick Henry with 169 yards. I mean, there are only two other 100-yard rushers around the league going into Monday Night Football, you know, for around the league for week one. And Henry had that in the first half, right? I mean, he was phenomenal. Lamar was great. You know, I mean, Lamar did Lamar-like things. But my goodness, you gotta finish a football game. And when this happens in week one, given the history, you said it. I mean, the ramifications for the fact that Buffalo now has a head-to-head, they're 1-0. The Chiefs lost on Friday night, so I mean, you could have had a game on them as well, knowing you're playing them in a couple weeks at Arrowhead. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh both won, but more than that, this team could go win their next 16 games. And my goodness, their talent, I'm guessing they're going to figure out things on defense like they did last year, right? They could go 16-1, but because this happened again, are you any more confident about January? I mean, is there any thought that it's going to have a different outcome, that it's going to end differently? I mean, you just don't trust this football team when the lights are brightest and it's truly, truly crunch time because they don't finish football games. So it's just incredibly frustrating. And you said it, and this is where John Harbaugh does have to own it more, right? I mean, because he's a CEO coach, right? He's not an offensive-minded coach. He's not a defensive-minded coach, right? And he's a special teams coordinator once upon a time, but he's been a head coach in the National Football League far longer now than he was a special teams coordinator in Philadelphia, right? So I think even that part of it's unfair to judge his identity in that way. But he is a CEO front-facing coach in the sense that he's not calling the offense or calling the defense like Mike McDonald is a defensive guy coaching in Seattle right now, right? So when you have these kind of breakdowns, when it's mistakes, mental mistakes, clock questions, decision-making questions, I mean, that has to fall on the head coach. This team should have won this football game. There's no way in heck they should have lost this football game. And there were enough breakdowns across the board where I'm sorry, you've got to look at John Harbaugh. And, you know, his biggest critics have been saying that for a long time. And I've really pushed back on that. And look, let's be clear. This is a Super Bowl winning coach and someone who's won a ton of games. In the same way, you could talk about Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, right? Even though they haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade now. But man, that can't happen. There's no way that should happen. But it happened. It happened again, right? Going back the last few years,
Well, it
we've
happened
seen
again
this.
in Buffalo to start the season after the revenge game, the MVP thing, the standings, the standings, the standings, January, 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 just all along the line. This was the game that couldn't happen in. I mean, if it happens to the Cleveland Browns, you feel bad about it and it's a one-off, but it's the Cleveland Browns. When it happens to Buffalo, it's magnified times three because we're going to play this one out all year long. And like, Their schedule, the teams I saw over the weekend, Cleveland looked formidable against Cincinnati. Cincinnati looks formidable. And Pittsburgh, I may have been making fun of Aaron Rodgers for 8 months. I watched him play the first quarter, and I said, they're going to be a better football team. And then Jalen Ramsey's going to start five fights with somebody. Somebody in the Ravens is going to throw a punch at that guy in week 13. Like, I'm looking at the Steelers and thinking, yeah, we all slept on them. They're going to win some
Oh,
games. They're going to win some games with Aaron. If he stays upright, they're going to win games.
they will, but their defense has to be better. Their defense was PU until the very end of the football game. It was, kind of their defense rose to the occasion at the end, despite the fact that they had a lousy day. But, we'll get into
But I'm
that.
just talking about like what's next is what we're going to talk about this for a day or two or five or a week or whatever. But we're going to talk about this for 4 months because this was a loss to Buffalo to start the season in a game that was different than losing to the Chiefs in an opener where, you could play hard and play well and all that. This was a dominant effort that was just completely pissed away at 0-1.
Yeah, it was. And look, I mean, what you said about the rest of the division and games coming up, I have every bit of confidence that the Ravens are going to make corrections and they're going to win a heck of a lot of football games. And I still think they're going to win the division. None of that changes for me.
I'm writing a
Yeah,
rip
right.
job on them that will, Harbaugh never reads my work, wink, wink. That will be memorable, but I also think they're probably going to win the Super Bowl still. I feel like if I'm writing Purple Rain 3, this is that setback thing that puts them in a different trajectory because it's not like they're not good.
Same was true last year. Same was true the year before. Same was true in 2019. I mean, I'm not confident that they're going to win the Super Bowl because of
They
what we
still
saw
have
on
to be
Sunday
good
night.
on a night in January.
Yeah, I mean, the skeptic, the harshest critic could say, "Wow, at least they didn't wait till January to do this. They did this on opening night,
Yes,
right?" I
my
mean,
wife said that at the end. She
yeah.
said, hey, picked up
So,
right where they left off.
and I mean that for me is what's so frustrating about this because again. They could win their next 16 and go 16-1. I'm obviously not predicting that, but if I looked into the purple crystal ball, I'd believe that part. But what you just said about the Super Bowl, no, I'm not a believer until I see them win a game like this, right? Like this. And even with everything that went sideways.
I've never seen Marlon Humphrey or Lamar Jackson or Ronnie Stanley win a game like this. None of them.
I mean, and let's be clear, they've won big games in September and October and November and December.
They have
But
freight train teams. They have gone out and won games like they won against Buffalo last year, where they just smear them. You know what I mean? Like, and they win those games. And then there's other games where they're sort of smearing them and sort of playing a cat and mouse game and 17 different times in Harbaugh's administration, they've pissed away double-digit lead. I mean, it's an uncanny number. It really is.
It is. And I'll also say there aren't many head coaches who are with a team
Long
long
enough
enough
to be
to
that
have
bad.
that many.
Yeah.
So again, context is fair. I want to be fair while being critical. But I mean, it's just, when will they learn? When will they learn? I mean, that's what it comes back to. This has every making on paper of being having a chance to be the best team in the history of the franchise. I mean, this offense is incredible. And now you add DeAndre Hopkins, who I don't think is going to put up big numbers in terms of volume. And I think we even saw that play out on Sunday night. Zay Flowers is the clear number one wide receiver on this team.
I think
But
Hopkins also
he can.
laid claim to, I can still do this.
Sure. I said, what did I say to you the moment that they signed him? This is kind of like the Odell Beckham signing, except at the appropriate price point in this. And the expectations are he can be a number three receiver, and he might only have 500 or 600 yards receiving over the course of the season. But you know what?
Might have seven
He
touchdowns.
might make five plays just like that one he made
Yeah.
on Sunday night, or somewhere along those lines.
Well, in the
Red
third quarter when you need it too, right? Yeah.
zone target, 50-50, 50-50 guy on the outside. And that's what that was. I mean, it's not like the coverage was bad on that play. I mean, a one-handed catch. So there's so much to love. But
0-1.
sloppy on special teams. And again, even through the first 50 minutes, I was still willing to say, defense definitely have things to clean up. There's no doubt about that. But I'm also recognizing you're on the road, you're facing the reigning MVP, an offense that is almost as good as the Ravens. I understand you're going to give up some points, but Josh Allen in the fourth quarter, he had 251 yards in the fourth quarter, Nestor. I mean, that's absolutely, it's astounding.
He had a night and a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers, and it's not that I thought he was bad over the course of the night, but his numbers were quite pedestrian for what Josh Allen can do going into the fourth quarter. And I mean, it's unbelievable to that we're having this conversation. I mean, the idea, where I was when after Henry scored the 46-yard touchdown, even after Luke missed the extra point, you kind of looked at it and you said, oh, well, that's not ideal for the rookie who.
I almost tweeted, if he's going to miss one when you got a 15-point lead.
Right,
It doesn't matter.
exactly.
It doesn't,
And then
it's a point that does not matter. And in the end, it was the point that mattered the
mattered.
most.
Yeah, it mattered. I mean, it just absolutely.
The two words I never heard on the broadcast last night? You know, two words I never heard?
Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker. Justin, because they're running from it. And I'm not going to let them.
Well, and
I'm not going to let them.
but I will say this. I mean, hey, Loop did a nice job with the couple field goals. I mean, you look at that first drive. I mean, they pushed, they fall back to it being a 52-yard attempt. He drilled it. He drilled a 49-yarder right before halftime. Unfortunately, there's another example where I won't let the defense off the hook. Loop makes a field goal with 31 seconds, and you let them kick a field goal at the end of the half. I mean, think how big those 3 points ended up being, right? I mean, where they get out of bounds with, they look at it and they put 1 second back on the clock. I mean, it's just those are the things that this team continues to just stub its toe and stub its toe and stub its toe and stub its toe. And most of the time, that doesn't matter, right? Because they're so dominant on offense. And like I said, I think they'll figure it out on defense. I mean, certainly they'll figure it out against lesser opponents, right? I mean, last year we saw how bad the defense was through the first pass defense was through the first 10 games, and then what it looked like after the bye week. It was markedly better, albeit not against the greatest line of opponents necessarily, but the numbers still spoke for themselves. But I mean, it's just you hate to not give the opponent any credit at all. And look, Josh Allen and the Bills deserve credit. I mean, even if they got lucky with the Coleman catch off the deflection, they made their own luck, right? Whereas the Ravens, it's the Ravens get into that late game death spiral and they just go down, right? Ship just sinks. They're like the Titanic in the last 5 minutes of that football game, and we've just seen that too much, right? I mean, someone make a play, and just no one could make a play in the last 5 minutes of that football game. So, boy, I mean, you don't have time to sit here and sulk and be disappointed because you've got to get ready for Cleveland in week 2. And to your point, not that I'm afraid of the Cleveland offense, but Cleveland defense, go look at what they did against Cincinnati in the second half. I mean, Joe Burrow and the Bengals did nothing offensively in that second half. Their defense played better than you might have thought, but so you've got to turn the page. I don't know, the silver lining in this one, at least it didn't end their season. mean, I've got nothing beyond that
It just
because,
started
yeah, I mean,
it.
it just, again, and as I'm working on at BaltimorePositive.com, it's, the Ravens didn't waste any time letting you know they haven't learned anything, right? They haven't learned that lesson yet. And until they do, that's why, yeah, I will continue to doubt them in January. And I'm not going to be someone that's jumping on the Super Bowl bandwagon, as so many pundits were, and understandably so with what it looks like on paper. But what we saw over the last 5 minutes is exactly why I wasn't as eager to jump on that bandwagon. And like I said, they could win the next 16. They might. Who knows? I'm still going to have major doubts about January because this team just continues to show who they are in those kind of critical moments against Kansas City and especially now Buffalo. It's just very, very disappointing and extremely frustrating to watch that because this team has all the makings of being something really special, but it was anything but at the end of the game.
Luke Jones and I are going to continue our conversation about Ravens football. I guess at some point we'll talk about what the Orioles did over the weekend. It's certainly Saturday night. We only have a couple more weeks left of that. I hope the football season goes a little better with Joe Flacco coming in this week. We're going to be at the Beaumont, so things are going to go better next Tuesday. I'm in the middle of this tastiness countdown here, and I want to welcome our friends from GBMC. We're calling it the GBMC Hotline in, as well as Curia Wellness, who has sponsored our 27th anniversary, as I continue my tastiness countdown of the delicious things that we eat here. My wife and I have had a major dispute that I think I may have gotten the Beaumont wrong. I may have gotten El Guapo's chicken tortilla soup wrong over the weekend. So I have to go back to Catonsville and figure that out. We're going to be there on the 16th. That is next Tuesday. Hopefully the Rams will be 1-1 and not 0-2 at that point. But we thought that last year when the Las Vegas thing happened around here. Luke and I will be monitoring all things football all week long. We're going to continue to talk offense. We're going to continue to talk defense. We're going to talk AFC North. We're going to talk about Joe Flacco. And I'm sure we're going to talk about Tyler Loop and John Harbaugh and the kicking game. We'll come back, continue our conversation about what could have, should have, would have been a victory in Buffalo. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.